Well, God bless you in the powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. This morning I want to share a little bit on to forgive or be forgiven. Because there is a great link between forgiveness and healing. This truth needs to be considered. For many cases, healing of the heart precedes or at least will promote our physical well-being. Whether we are in need of forgiveness or to forgive, let compassion reign in your heart with God's power and His ability in us to do. In the 103rd Psalm, I'd like to just read it from the beginning because it's such a beautiful psalm and such an encouraging psalm. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Forgiveness from a human side is the conclusion of resentments and anger. It is to put the fire out and separate the coals so it burns no more. It is to let go of grudges and bitterness, and it will cut off, close the door by which evil spirits, the enemy, gains access to the lives of people to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it is the oil of gladness and the balm of healing so necessary for the well-being of mankind. It is the manifestation of God's goodwill to men and women upon the earth. It is to pardon and to treat as innocent, the results of which gives peace and promotes healing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I want to share this record with you and help you enjoy the peace of God. And for those of you who have been in need of healing for long periods of time, perhaps this will be the answer to unlock it for you so that you can walk in His wonderful blessings and in His wonderful peace and comfort and with great joy and gladness in your soul. Matthew chapter 6. It'll just take me a little time to get there. We'll start in verse 14. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The reason is because you will not allow Him to release you. You do not believe that He will forgive you, and therefore you do not receive the forgiveness. In essence, you, by not forgiving others, have not or have decided to remain in the chains you yourself are connected to in your situation. And you need to practice forgiveness. You need to enjoy being forgiven. And you need to believe, first of all, that you've been forgiven. What is forgiveness? Well, biblically, it's the decision of will inspired by your love for the Father. To be forgiven is the first step toward your redemption manifested in healing I kind of go back and forth on this, but it's healing spiritually, mentally, and physically. I don't know if it's mentally first, because your mind needs to be whole so you can understand it, and then you will get the spiritual. Or if it's the spiritual first so that your mind is free. But however it is, you need to be forgiven, and you need that redemption manifested so that you can have healing. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. In 2 Corinthians, let's go there. I want to read this record with you and consider it so that we see these wonderful truths that God has set for us. He sets these things so that we might know and that we might enjoy His bountiful blessings of peace, comfort, and healing, which includes restoration. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, chapter 2. It says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." The Corinthian church had gotten themselves into some severe problems. There were a lot of very, very devilish things that were going on among the believing ones. And in some cases, they were even proud of it, talking about their freedom in Christ and some of these other things, which did not bring glory to God nor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul had to reprove them and set up certain things because they were so immature in their believing and immature in their spirituality that he had to set up certain things so he could help get them back and recognize the error so that they could come back to the blessings of God and the more abundant life which he has promised. And so he wrote to them, and now he's writing back a second time, reminding them, and he didn't want to do it. It's not a pleasure to reprove people. It's not a pleasure to confront the brethren. But if we want them to enjoy the blessings of God, then we need to come back to the Word. And so he lays out these great truths before them. Verse 5, "But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you." Certainly the other believers that were not involved in some of these things were hurt because that's their fellowship. And their fellowship looked pretty bad. And so they were hurt. And those that remained faithful and were not involved in some of these issues were hurt that now Paul has to reprove the church as a whole. And they're part of that church and they're part of that example. But Paul is concerned because he doesn't want them to be overcharged. Verse 6, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment," or this censure would be a good word, "which was inflicted of many," or to the majority, "so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive the individuals and comfort them, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." Here it shows us some incredible truths. "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your" what? "Love toward him. For this end also did I write, that you might know the proof of you," or "that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things." And you know what? The word that Paul shared with them worked, because he says, "To whom ye forgive anything, for to this end that I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Lest Satan should what? Get an advantage of us. He seeks advantage. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, all of us, for we are not ignorant of his. He warned them of the disastrous results of unforgiveness and exhorted them to do that which is righteous. People say, I can't forget what he or she did to me. God doesn't ask us to forgive and forget. That's something he does. He forgets and separates us as far as the east is from the west. And he doesn't require us to do that. But he does tell us to forgive. He asks us to love. He asks us to be compassionate. And if we heed his warning of this terrible effect of unforgiveness, we will exercise great compassion. Forgiveness is not an act of forgetfulness. Forgiveness is an act of compassion. Be compassionate enough to release someone from a collision course with defilement. Don't allow yourself to be complicit with God's arch enemy. Unwillingly or without knowledge or ignorance. We are not to be ignorant. We are not to be ignorant of his, the adversary's devices. You can look at a situation in a different light, as I've explained before, and be compassionate. But just rehearsing platitudes like, let bygones be bygones. Well, they're not gone. Fulfill the covenant of love you have with the Father. To love God with all your heart. To love him with all your soul and your mind and your strength. That's the first great commandment, and the second is like unto. It is equally united. It's together the same, to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want forgiveness? Then be forgiving. Do you need forgiveness? Then forgive. Love can do for men and women what no law can do. The law can convict, but it can't convert. It can condemn, but it cannot redeem. And it can punish, but it cannot heal. If you cannot find compassion in your own heart, then look into the Father's before you ever give up on love. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, because I want to show you this. Or chapter 12, rather. Hebrews 12. And let's start in verse 12. It says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Yeah. You know, get out of your depression. Get out of your sorrows. Lift yourself up. Stand up straight. Start to walk. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be what? To be defiled is to allow the enemy to have access to you or to an individual. And it comes from unforgiveness many times. It comes from the deep hurt that unforgiveness does, or the deep hurt for lack of forgiveness. Like I say, love can do for men and women what no law can ever do. And that's why Paul was exhorting the wonderful believing ones in Corinth to let love reign. I think there's a great chapter on the love of God in Corinthians. But what do you think that defilement is, if not allowing or opening ways where the adversary can get in? We are not ignorant of his devices. We understand how he seeks out and how he functions and how he attacks and how he looks to get inside where he can make his attacks. And many, many, many situations, it is attack through unforgiveness or not accepting forgiveness. Compassion can light the candle of truth and dispel the darkness of ignorance. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, and I want to read this record with you and go over it with you to just set something for you and how it affects a man or a woman's ministry, even not to have forgiveness or not to forgive. In Luke chapter 5 is this great record of the healing of a man with a palsy, a paralysis. Let's start in verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Heal them. Them who? Well, a pronoun goes back to the closest associated noun. Well, what's the closest associated noun to them? The Pharisees and the doctors of the law. You see it? Then the power of God was there to heal who? Well, them. Not only all the people, but more specifically, even the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. These men that had ministries or had responsibilities of teaching people the Word of God, helping people live the great truth of God's Word. Unfortunately, and I use that word very loosely, they did not and never understood how sick they really were and rejected it because they rejected Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and behold, a man brought in a bed, or behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. They sought to bring him in. They were absolutely determined for this gentleman's deliverance. He had a palsy. A palsy is a paralysis. Everything is there that is necessary to walk. He had legs. They had bones. They had veins. They had arteries. They had muscles. They had everything necessary to walk, only they were not functioning. Everything was there, but they didn't function. I think of the Pharisees and the doctors. They had the scriptures. They had Jesus Christ. They had John the Baptist. They had Jesus' disciples. They had seen mighty signs, miracles, and wonders done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was there to make them strong men and women of God. That is the reason they became Pharisees, the reason they became doctors of the law. Everything was there, but they didn't utilize it. Everything was there so that they could stand and walk the word, and they didn't see that they were paralyzed. Never even knew it. Because the power of God was present to heal them, as well as others. I tell you, everything was there. Consider the plight of the Pharisees and doctors. Everything necessary was there, but they could not stand and walk on the word. And when they could not find by what means they might bring him in, these men carrying this man with the paralysis, because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling, which was through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Can you imagine that happening today in the middle of your teaching? Somebody opens up the roof and sends a guy down. I don't know how many people would enjoy that or think favorably toward that. But Jesus Christ saw how determined they were for this gentleman's deliverance, that they wanted and knew that if they got to Jesus Christ, he would be free. Well, and when he saw their faith, or he saw their believing, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are what? Forgiven thee. Apparently there was something in his life that he questioned whether God would heal him. Many people do. I'm not good enough for healing. Well, God is good enough to give it. It's not based on our goodness, or we would never get there. No one would be healed. We'd all be sick. It is his goodness that is ever present. The goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is ever present. It is his goodness that healing is based upon. And it is his forgiveness and love that healing is based upon. That leads to it. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? Look at where their minds went. That's why I say, you have to get healing of the mind many times before healing of the flesh actually will take place. If you have not accepted God's healing, accept it now. It's really not even based on your repentance. It is based on his forgiveness. Then your loving response would be to repent. Your loving response would be to repent of your ways. Your loving response to forgiveness is to change. The best indicator of sin forgiven would be sin forsaken. Change your ways. Repent. But he didn't even require that. But he does require us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we are motivated by love, then the repentance should absolutely follow. Do you see it? You repent because you so love, because he so loved you. He so loved you to not reward us according to our iniquities. He so loved us to not hold those things against us. He so loved us to forgive us our sins, forgive our trespasses, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, we ought to then repent. Change our lives. Allow the zealousness that we had for the Word and for God and for the things of God to really show forth. Allow the beauty of His love to be manifested. Well, who can forget? And here's where their minds went. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk,' but that thou mayest know that the Son of Man hath power," exousia, He has the authority upon the earth to forgive sins, "He saith unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house.'" Wow, what a beautiful thing. God's will is for us to be free of sickness and disease and disorders. As free as Christ made us free from sin. But these men wanted to hang on to it when the power of God was present to heal. Where do you want to be? On which side of it do you want to stand? Well, I'll tell you where this man was. "And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with awe and fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Well, we should be seeing strange things every day. It's actually the word for incredible. Wonderful. Amazing things. Why should we not be living in an amazing time when we have a God whose power is present to heal? Accept His forgiveness and then forgive others. It is an act of love. And it is an act of compassion. When you consider, and I want you to think for a minute, that you keep a root of bitterness from springing up, and many are defiled, if you keep that out, what service are you doing? What a great service to mankind, to free them from evil spirits. I know that God's Word tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What do you think the unrighteousness is? The unrighteousness of man or the unrighteousness of evil spirits who are absolutely unrighteous? It is so important that we practice forgiveness for the health and well-being of mankind. It is so important that we accept forgiveness for our health and well-being and keeping out those things that keep us oppressed. They wanted to hang on to their resentments because they disliked Jesus and their dislike for Him. But if we want to be free, then we need to come back to the Word and allow that compassion that He has for us, and then our loving response back to Him will keep us free and in the light. So that's what I wanted to share with you, at least for today. In the next couple of weeks, I won't be sending out, or we will not be sending out teachings. I want to take some time to prepare for the weekends that we're going to enjoy, Labor Day weekend, that we'll have our special time together. And I look forward to seeing all of you. And I believe it's going to be a great turning point in our lives if we really grab hold of the greatness of the love of God and endear ourselves back to our Heavenly Father. Bless your hearts.